This hour of Overdrive, powered by The Source. For expert advice on the very best holiday gifts, visit The Source and chat with one of their tech experts.
Could be looking for a new place to live, fellas.
Really? That
was
quick, eh?
Called again today about this interview, and I said, I'm not doing it.
But can they kick you out? They can't kick you out.
I don't know.
Did you sign a lease?
Yes, I signed all of it. I'd pay my rent to the owner of the unit. And again, they called and said, you have to meet with everybody so we approve you living here. I go, actually, Pearl. Her name was Pearl. I said, I'm not doing it. So talk to the owner of the unit. I'm not going to sit down and have you people think that you're all high and mighty and judge me and say, what are you going to do? Decide if you like me or not? Or
are you a menace there? Like, do you do anything that's...
Dude, nothing.
That's what I'm saying. You don't do anything out of the ordinary.
No,
right?
I go home, I sit on my couch, I watch sports, and I go to work.
It's obviously protocol. Yeah. Everyone has to go through it. So you're William Nylander, and Pearl is Kyle Dubas.
That's right.
And there's a stalemate, and you guys don't know how to figure this out. You got to find some common ground.
Well, I said, Pearl, if you want, email me some questions, and I'll write back the answers. I go, what are you going to sit me down in a boardroom?
No, like, kidding. What is she, Robert Mueller?
Yeah.
Little...
Like, come on. You need some counsel. That's what you need. You need a lawyer. That's what you need to do. Direct all of their inquiries to a third party and say, you actually need to start speaking to my representative,
Call
Pearl.
Eric Macromella.
Maybe it's Eric Macromella. Maybe Noodles and I can play your personal counsel.
So if Pearl calls you, I'm...
Forward it to me.
I'll take care of it. Steward.
Some people just have nothing to do.
Well, that's what I said to her. I'm like, who do you think you are? Like, well, I pay my bills.
But did you?
I understand you can't have bad people. But I said, this is crazy, and I'm not doing it. I'm not doing
it,
Pearl.
Now you've dug in on principle.
Well, now I'm mad, and I'm not doing it on principle, yeah.
But
And what's going to happen? Are they going to throw me out? I doubt it. I pay my bills.
But there's got to be...
They can't do that. You can't just get thrown out.
I know, but here's something.
Therefore, I'm not doing it.
There's got to be language in their bylaws of somebody who owns and subleases. So that's probably what they're saying, is that there's a protocol when you sublease to somebody... And or when you lease to somebody, you haven't gone through that because this gentleman.
I wonder if they're worried about like Airbnb, that you're just showing up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And you're not actually locked in and committed to the building.
Email me that question. Are you Airbnb-ing it? All right, no, Pearl,
because
I'm not.
That's a serious racket right now.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of people in big cities. It happens in Toronto. I know it.
My condo in Collingwood, the people before me, they Airbnb'd it, and then they got notification. Because it was crazy. People were staying up till 4 in the morning, and the neighbors were like, this is not happening anymore.
So that's why they wanted to sit those people down and say, what are you going to do in this?
That you can understand.
Probably you can maybe see Pearl's point.
Well, I wonder if Pearl had an issue with the volume level in your establishment last night when the Leafs were putting on a clinic in San Jose, and specifically... when Frederick Gauthier picked up his first point of the season.
Yeah, you know what? Before you even go there, this is Kreskin over here. This guy called two things in my mind. He called the GOAT getting a second assist.
I actually called it to a T. Okay.
Yeah, you said he was going to flip it out, though, didn't you?
We'll play the clip and we'll see. But, okay, maybe it was off the shaft. Well,
there's some money being...
Wow, Beansy, look at you.
...transported here. There was somebody who
lost $75.
Yeah, I don't remember what we were betting on.
The same thing. He's not going to get a point.
See, I thought we were betting on the under in the Calgary-Montreal game, which did go under the number, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But I felt good about that. Anyway, let's play this clip. Now, this is very dangerous in radio, because when you start promoting what you get right,
then
people are going to say, well, how about the other idiotic comments where you're calling
your best
everything?
Bets or something like that.
But this one I am personally proud of. I'm actually willing to puff the chest out and say...
I called it.
I nailed this.
Yes, you did.
If you saw the Levo goal last night, this is what I said yesterday around 6:05 p.m. Eastern time. I think he chips one out of his zone.
No, I think there's...
Ennis and Levo, 2-on-1.
No, I think
Ennis to Levo, Levo shelf. Like, that literally happened.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't chip it out of the zone. It was off his shaft.
But still, there was a broken play, which he was a part of, and then they went on a 2-on-1.
But 2-on-1, Ennis to Levo, Levo literally went shelf. That's actually to a T.
You called it to a T. And then our Twitter feed lit up the second that the GOAT. I kind of had a chuckle about it. I thought it
was Josh Levo from Tyler Ennis and Frederic Gauthier.
See, that 12.5 over under is looking pretty good.
All of a sudden, I could see him squeaking in a double, a second assist tonight as well in Anaheim. Yeah. They're favored in Anaheim tonight.
They should be. Anaheim's not playing well, and they're not a
very
good team right now.
Anaheim just got dummied by Vegas. Five Cobb.
Yeah. It says something about both teams, that Anaheim is a dog at home against a team that's playing on a back-to-back.
Right.
But it also says something about the way Vegas is treating the Maple Leafs, and they deserve this type of respect. If the Leafs win tonight, they are first overall in the NHL. I can't remember the last time we were in a position like that. Like, it's been a long time.
They were first overall in the NHL. Might have been maybe just the East. And in the 18-wheeler.
Yes.
They were first in the East.
That was a January. Like, you can be first overall like 3 days into the season. But this is like, now you're 20 games in.
That's what
I'm saying.
Nice. We're closing in on late November, 20 games into the season. Nylander has not played a game. Matthews has missed the last eight, I believe. And they've got a chance to sweep California for the first time since 95 and be first overall in the NHL tonight. Those are significant numbers, and that would be an achievement that ultimately isn't worth anything in the end, unless you can hold on to it. But it's worth, I think, some confidence, some pride. You should be proud of yourself if you're the Maple Leafs. I thought that was a great game they played last night.
I actually, but see, that people were talking, they gave up 45 shots.
That's bogus.
They were
They gave up 45 shots.
They did.
There's no chance they did. I was watching that, and I was looking at the shot clock. I'm like, when did San Jose get these shots? When?
But I was going to give you love for the second part. I thought Freddie Anderson was brilliant last night. San Jose outchanced them. Did you know that?
I don't think that's true, quite frankly.
I would tell you 100% that they outchanced.
I find that very hard to believe.
Hey, you know what? You said it yesterday. We both said a tough building. Sometimes you're going to have to get
And Freddie's a part of the team.
He
that's
played
why.
Really well. I thought he played well last night, but
I
thought the Leafs played great.
They didn't deserve it. It's like they made best
me,
of their chances.
To me, the difference was the goaltenders. Frederic Anderson was better than Martin Jones last night.
Yeah, to win a tough road game, that's basically what needs to happen.
Like, everyone's talking about the Leafs' speed. Well, San Jose's a fast team. It was a good game last night.
I thought it was a fun game.
It was great.
But I personally legitimately believe the Leafs were the better team last night. I absolutely believe that. And I would guess San Jose probably walked away saying, yeah, they got us.
Yeah, they won.
They were the better team.
The Leafs deserved to win. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that Frederic Anderson was a big part of that. Like, I think they gave up 20 chances last night.
Like a few of them were right at the end. I mean, Pavelski had two or three with a minute left.
No, I'm talking like first period. Couture walks right down the pike, blocker save. Anderson makes it look like he's just batting a fly out of the air.
Right.
Like, that's an unreal save.
Like, yeah.
Left pad save on Burns in tight, I think, in the first period, too, where he walks out of the corner.
And like, his breakaway stopped by Jones.
Yeah.
It went both ways.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it was a really entertaining game. But, I woke up. People were like, "Wow, the Leafs are, you know, just dummy them." I'm like, hold on a second here. The word dummying cannot come in when you've given up 45 shots.
Well, I find that hard to believe. And I know you have stated before that
building.
Shot clock is incredibly liberal.
They are.
Incredibly liberal. Like, I remember after the second period, I think I tweeted about it. I'm like, how do they have 30-something shots? How are they
39-30 when you
like,
tweeted
like, there's just
that.
No way. I mean, again, I'm not in the building, but it did not feel like San Jose had 39 shots.
I think a lot of, they ended up with 45, but 39 at that time, I think, when you tweeted it.
Yeah.
But it's a liberal building, but it's more like, I think it almost speaks to the fact that we've grown accustomed to Freddie just being very quiet in the net. Like, there were three or four times last night where I was like, ooh, that was an unreal save. And you're kind of like, meh, it just goes along. Like, I don't even know if the announcers even said it was a good save. It's just, well, that's what you expect. And that's an amazing thing. Like, I think Frederic Anderson, I know Tavares, Marner, there's some great storylines that came out of it last night. But I just kept thinking to myself, like, he's playing so well that you kind of just, you move past it now. You're like, that was,
yeah, I guess there's an element
a little bit
of that.
More biased towards him, but I thought he was outstanding.
Yeah,
last night.
I thought he played well, you know, for sure. I didn't walk away from that thinking Freddie Anderson stole that game.
I didn't think it was a steal.
I thought
it wasn't Carey Price in Calgary. It was,
exactly.
But it was still like, that's a different game if a couple of those go in of those like timely saves, and I thought he was outstanding. But again, a little bit biased.
Well, no, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. As I said yesterday, he was due for that because the team in front of him had given him a free pass.
That's why I said you called it. Like
he needed one.
You needed your starting goaltender, who is a part of the team and is a big part of it, to give you that stability. And then the assist was just
Well, the pass to Marner was awesome. Like, yeah. Those are just kind of fun plays that you don't get to see a lot.
Yeah.
He kind of played it off like it was ho-hum, whatever.
Like
but that was a nice play by Freddie and a beautiful finish by Marner.
Yeah.
And I think that's what stood out last night. Like, the finish, outside of the Tavares goal, which was a cheesy one, but
yeah.
So was the Sharks' first goal.
Yeah.
You know, Levo, Schelf, Kapanen, Schelf, Marner, Schelf.
Yeah. Kapanen, Schelf again.
Kapanen again. Like, they... You know, they went out there and...
Where are you at with Kapanen? I still think he's...
I think he's a legit impact player. I can't... I don't know how else you label him. I'm not... You know, he's not a star or a superstar or anything like that. But I think he's proving he can be a legit impact player.
Yeah, and his speed is
top
getting
six.
Creating
yeah.
all kinds of offense where he's getting to pucks first. He's winning races. And it's creating a lot. Like, you see the separate. Like, he's a fast skater.
Very fast.
Yeah, I don't know if there's 10 faster guys. Like, as far as just straight line,
yeah.
He is
he's not
fast
the fastest in the league, but he's very fast.
He's the fastest on the Leaf team, for sure.
Yeah.
And they're a pretty fast team overall. But he gets himself two or three breakaways a night.
I think he's a 7.
I think you're shortchanging him a little bit.
I don't think he has the skill. Like, I think he's fast. Like, I played with fast guys who give themselves tons of opportunity because they're fast, but I don't think he has, like, the, you know, the
I think what he's
finishing
got,
skill, if that makes
well,
sense.
Well, I think he's got a shot, which
right.
is different. Like, the comparison that most are going to use right now is Michael Grabner because of the breakaway speed. But Grabner's a guy, you know, I guess there are probably similarities to the two of them. I don't think of Kapanen as a setup guy necessarily, as a guy who's going to create.
Right. I think you let him ultimately decide it. I mean, you're just
right,
giving him ice time. If he takes advantage of it, he is a top
six. Well, and if the
guy.
Other guy doesn't
he
show
fades
up.
Off.
Yeah, but even if he does show, I like the idea of a third line of Marleau, Kadri, and Kapanen. That's a really good third line.
Oh, that would be
I think the guy who is probably looking at this saying, oh, my ice time is going to be affected is Connor Brown. If and when Nylander returns.
Right.
Because if and when Nylander returns, he is going to play with Matthews. Marner is going to play with Tavares. So you're saying who's going to be on the right side with Kadri.
Right.
And I think Kapanen has proven that he deserves that opportunity.
Oh, every day of the week, right now.
Yeah.
But I, like, remember Brown had 20 a couple years ago, and we were like, oh, Brown needs to be a little higher in the lineup. I think when the dust settles... Kapanen, you know, if he's a top six, I don't think he's a top six on this team, but I think he can be a top six on other teams. But I think he falls into like the 7 hole, which is it's not embarrassing. It's a great
spot. Embarrassment
of
riches is what
exactly.
It is.
Exactly, and
it's
and,
exactly what you need if you're going to be a top end team. You need that. You need depth guys that when there are injuries or when there are contract holdouts or whatever, some guy can step in and contribute. I don't think he ends up. Let's say Nylander doesn't show up. I'm not expecting Kapanen to score 65 points.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen. But I think
45.
He's, yeah. I think he's a legit 20-goal, 45-point guy. That's a good player.
That's what I kept thinking last night.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's a 40 to 50-point guy, which is a 20-30 or 20, 22.
Well, and look at if you go back to that Kessel trade, where Phil obviously has performed exactly how the Penguins wanted him
still
to perform.
Keeps going
and he keeps
night.
Going.
Yeah.
But I remember at the time, there was a lot of debate about whether or not they got the right player in return. They got the picks, which they eventually flipped for Freddie Anderson.
Right.
They had to eat some money, and people were wondering why they had to do that. And I can't remember the player. I think it was a defenseman that people wanted, Pouliot or something like that. And they didn't get him. Maybe they didn't want him. Maybe they actually had said, we want Kapanen, and that's the guy. But now you look back on that deal, and... It's worked out pretty well for both sides.
Sure.
You know, like, Phil represented something to this market that had to change. He had to move on from him because the team was going in a different direction. He's won 2 cups. He's been outstanding for Pittsburgh. But Freddie Anderson is here in large part because of that deal.
Right.
And Kapanen is here because of that deal. I mean, that's a good trade.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you want. A team that's going for it right now brings in the guy like Phil, and the team that's got visions of being there in 2 or 3 years brings in the picks and the prospect, and they all work out.
Right.
So, you know, tonight they got a chance to sweep California, first time in 23 years. They win their first overall. They're rolling, man. Without Matthews, without Nylander.
Yeah, without those two.
That's what's scary, I think. The idea of plugging those two in, and you have this type of offensive ability and this type of cohesion, and then Freddie, if he's standing on his head or just locked in.
Right.
You know,
God, I really hope this Nylander stuff gets kind of wrapped up soon. I feel for our insiders. They know it's coming, and to talk about it every day. It's like the lockout. You guys worked during the lockout, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me,
and
Bobby.
What did you guys even talk about?
Well, that's why this isn't nearly as bad, because they're still playing.
Well, no,
you know, we don't have to talk about Nylander if we don't want to.
What did you guys talk about? I honestly don't know how you could have put a two-hour show together.
Well, there's other sports. I don't know what we did. It was a long time ago.
There's times where we sit in here and we don't know what the hell we're talking about. And
that's
we
often
talk about it for 3 hours, and then we walk out and go, oh, yeah, we forgot to get to this, or we forgot to get to that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to bring back some of those old school bits, actually, because it is about nostalgia today with Freddie the Goat. The Goat Tracker is going to return. For those of you not familiar with the Goat Tracker, we did this during the dark days of the rebuild, and just when it was ugly here, we had to constantly look towards the future. We're going to bring that back.
And the Goat Tracker is tracking Freddie the Goat and other prospects.
Yes, other prospects within the organization. And I have a puzzle that we can get to as well.
Because Freddie the Goat loves a puzzle.
Sponsored by Chipotle.
We can't
throw it out there, but
forget
we should.
Chipotle.
Yeah,
we don't
exactly.
Like them,
but still, this guy loved a Chipotle, apparently.
Yeah, he did. He liked a top hat, a Chipotle, a puzzle, and a second assist.
Who was it that gave
and
him the
Tinder?
The Goat?
Was it Sparks that let out all of that?
Garrett Sparks was very revealing. Connor Brown was pretty open about it, too.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. James Duthie will be in studio later this afternoon. We've got Ray coming on just after 5. Antoine Bethea of the Arizona Cardinals is going to be on at 5:30. He's got a book coming out. That's going to be a cool chat. Ugly scene for the Packers last night. And the Raptors with a big one tonight in Boston. Jack Armstrong later in the afternoon. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Melanin Friday continues, brought to you by 1in100.net. For a 1in100 chance of winning killer seats to any Toronto game, go to 1in100.net, and your first entry is free. Ray will join us from Anaheim ahead of the Leaf game tonight. Big win, 5-3 over San Jose last night. They have a chance to sweep the California trip for the first time since 95. And a win tonight, 2 points tonight, puts them first overall in the NHL. You can hear the game right here on TSN Radio. Watch it on TSN 4 tonight. So Ray's coming up at 5. Antoine Bethea, safety with the Arizona Cardinals at 5:30. That's going to be cool.
Speaking of football, I want to get to a story with you guys, but I want you to watch it first. University of Houston, I believe. Did you see it?
Yeah, Ed Oliver. He's a stud, like high-end pick.
And the coach went up to him. He's not even playing. And he had his team, like, winter jacket on and said, take it off. And this guy went nuts.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a complicated
issue. Dude, that coach is a D-bag.
It's so stupid. I think it's such a typical tough guy football coach move. But my understanding is, like, that Ed Oliver is supposed to be maybe a top 10 pick. I don't think he's playing because he's trying to conserve himself for the draft. So I think there's
so it was a shot saying, okay, you think you're Mr. Tough Guy, you're bailing on us, and you think you're a hero wearing the jacket, so take it off.
I think so.
That's crazy.
Which is still so stupid and petty.
It is.
But you got to watch the video of it. It's just
I'm going to look it up. But it drives me nuts now that you see these people like, I'm not going to play. I'm saving myself for this. Like, there's a reason why you're getting an opportunity. They give you a platform, and now all of a sudden you're going to bail on your teammates because you're. You know, and I get it. There's lots of money at stake, but if you're going to bubble wrap yourself, all you're going to do is, it says that you're not confident that you're not going to make it through games without injury.
Well, and that's another thing. And that's what's happened with this Bosa kid in Ohio State, where his brother is one of the best talents in the NFL, but he's an absolute band-aid.
Right.
And Bosa got hurt earlier in the year, and he just said, I'm done. I'm preparing for the draft. If I'm a scout, I'm like, this guy's never going to play for me.
Exactly.
Like, he's a great talent. You know, but I don't think he can play. Yeah. So that has to hurt your stock a little bit. I think proving you can play means something.
But you're right. And fighting through it, like, not fighting through concussion. I get that. Fighting through stuff that there's a lot more education out there about it. I get that. That you have to respect that process. But now all of a sudden you're putting yourself, for me, if I'm a scout, and I know people hate the word intangibles and character, but it does come up. It does come up. If there are two players that you believe are deadlocked in a lot of different facets, you look at them analytically. You look at their underlying numbers. Well, then you look at the
wouldn't
family.
You think if you were somebody in management doing an interview, you would put yourself in a position and say, if this is Le'Veon Bell, like, situation, what would he come and play for the team, or would he preserve himself for free agency? Like, you got to be thinking that nowadays. Like, if that situation came up, what would this particular guy do over this guy?
Right. Yeah.
And now
you can never really get a true judge of character because everyone is so scripted and they're giving you BS answers that everyone gives.
Now, I thought Jabari brought up a great point on our show yesterday talking about the tread. You know, players, it's almost like a pitcher. Some guys have an expiration date. Like, I didn't look at it that way as far as, you know, this is a guy who's going to get miles on him, and if he carries 400 times and gets banged up, like, you know, technically, if he saves himself for a year, you've saved yourself the tire tread. But does that outweigh, you know, bailing on your teammates and some of the character things that somebody may weigh a little bit heavier than other things?
I guess Le'Veon Bell, his answer to that would be, all I need is one team.
Right.
One team that's going to pay me, and that's where I'm going, and they're going to pay me, and they're going to show me the love. And if this built-in unwritten rule is there, where if I reach a certain amount of touches, you're not going to pay me, then I guess I'm going to try to avoid it. That sounds like that's his reasoning. Speaking of hero coaches, you see your boy Matt Patricia is at it again down in Detroit.
Did he make them practice outdoors?
Yes. So the Lions are 3-6.
Yeah.
They're done. It's over. Their next four games are inside a dome.
Yeah.
So controlled weather.
Environment,
environment. This guy made them practice outside in the snow yesterday in Detroit. And then, of course, the media wanted answers.
Did he tell them to sit up straight and respect? Like, did he go down
that
route?
He's losing everybody, man.
He's losing his mind.
The players will be like, okay, you're a hero. Yeah. No thanks.
Exactly. Do you want to hear? We got a couple of snippets.
I would love to.
You can't even play because the guy talked for 10 minutes. It was just garbage. Yeah. It was just him going on and on and on about why he does it, why he has to do it. And, you know, then after the end of the diatribe, he's like, and that's enough. We're not going to talk about it again. Well, you just spent 6 minutes telling us why you believe you had to practice.
So let's keep talking
about it. But nobody can ask him a question
because this guy thinks he's so smart and getting out in front of it. But here's just one example. Like, I don't even know where this was in the diatribe, but this is Matt Patricia. This is a head coach of an NFL team.
Okay. Practicing in some of those conditions, whether it's mud, snow, loose grass, whatever the case may be, focuses most of the skilled players to have to keep their feet underneath them, be able to break with low center of gravity, and play technically sound, which is always good from a fundamental standpoint. So it was a good opportunity to get that done.
So he's blatantly reading. It's a scripted piece, which is very strange.
It is.
That you've scripted like 900 words. It was almost a 900-word diatribe trying to explain something, which means he knows it has to be explained.
Yeah.
Which is not a good sign. Like, your team's 3-6, you're a rookie coach, you're already on the hot seat because of some of the things you've been doing and saying, and now you make them practice outside when they're not going to play outside for five weeks, and that's your explanation, and you don't allow the media to, you know, kind of circle back on you.
I used to love the guy with the Pats because they're my team, and he's the guy with the pencil, and he looked like an old school, like, gritty coach.
Amateur hour.
And I don't really care about coaches. Like, I don't really, if I know them and they're my buddies, I try to support them, whatever. But I'm starting to think this guy's a goof now.
He's acting like it. He's not a head coach. Like, that's why there are guys who are assistant coaches and there are guys who are head coaches. It is two different sets of breeds. It just is. You can't know it until they get the job.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Sometimes for a guy like that to think in his head, what would Bill Belichick be doing right now? Because you know he's thought that a lot. What would Bill do now?
But why didn't
like
he
the
realize
bracelets. What would?
But Bill wouldn't act like that.
Bill wouldn't read off an 891 word diatribe explaining it.
He says four words and he's out. Like Belichick, a lot like Babcock, they dictate how these interviews are going. And Mike does it. I think Mike does it masterfully here in Toronto. He's got a lot of people that are pulling on him. I would imagine same thing with the Patriots. They come out, they have their statements, they take some questions. They don't like what they're hearing. They take it in a different direction, and then they're done. They move on and on to the, you know, on to Kansas City, on to Kansas City. Like if to me, and it's you can't even draw a parallel. But remember, Dallas Eakins comes into Edmonton and he's gonna, you know, change everything, change the narrative, change this, donuts out of this, and you know all you're doing is drawing attention to it instead of really focusing on what you need to do.
Well, and you're also you're trying to reinvent the wheel when you don't have to.
Exactly.
You're trying to be overly progressive and this new cutting edge guy, and it just it doesn't work because it comes off fraudulent. When you have to explain it, that means it didn't go the way you thought it was going to go.
Right.
Ray will join us in about a half an hour. The GOAT is on the board.
It's on fire.
Just a remarkable second assist last night. We're going to get to a GOAT tracker and a puzzle. We haven't done one of these
in a long time.
We'll get to that in 2 minutes. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Bruins, November 26th. Every day this week, we have been providing you with a clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. So today is Friday, time for the final clue, and then the phone lines will be open at 416-870-1050 or toll-free 1-855-591-6876. The final clue for the week. This Maple Leaf wore both the numbers 25 and 2 while in Toronto. I don't know who that is. Don't say it yet. Phone lines are open. 416-870-1050. Big tickets, man. Leafs Bruins.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Doesn't get much better than that.
Was he a defenseman?
I'm assuming he was. I don't know why I say that, but number two sounds
now,
like a defenseman.
I got thrown off by yesterday. I thought I knew who it was, and then I got thrown off by yesterday's clue. I don't know who it is.
I have no idea who it is.
Well, I guess you give you my guess?
No, because people are calling in.
Oh, we might have a winner already. Yeah, well, fire off a guess.
Hal Gill.
Was Hal here twice, though? I don't know if he was here twice. I guess he could have been
here. I don't think he was here twice, but I just think that he might have had those two numbers.
Did he have a number change while he was here? He might have.
You think it's a Hal Gill, the bag chucker.
Anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know if that's truly the answer or not. We'll figure it out. You guys want to get to
the GOAT
something
tracker?
We haven't done in a long time.
Fire it up. Oh, guys.
And now, let's go back to Brian Hayes with the live GOAT tracker.
I remember now why we stopped doing this. It's so stupid.
It's awesome.
No, it isn't. It's the GOAT tracker. No, it's tracking prospects. It's a lot of information involved.
Remember when we had sound from Freddie? Somebody just wrote in and said, we had sound from Freddie a couple years back where he was like Mountain Man. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
I do. Where he's kind of like, like he was pretty fired up.
Like after he scored a big goal
or
something?
Yeah, they interviewed him.
He was never more smooth than when he was first drafted.
I remember. We had the first exclusive interview.
You did.
Live from New York. Live from New York.
Yeah, I was
at the NHL draft. You and I sat down with Freddie the GOAT Gauthier, and we asked him, who do you
emulate
in the NHL? Who
Jordan Staal.
And he said, Jordan Staal. And you know what? Last night, that play he made.
That was a Jordan Staal
That was
play.
A Staalian type play.
Yeah. Good.
By the GOAT.
Good defensive posture.
Yes. So the reason we used to do this was because the big league club was such a joke and was so bad. We're like, we can't talk about these guys.
Talked about the first rounder who's coming
up. We had to talk about the future. We had to talk about the prospects. And Freddie the GOAT was one of those, you know, five-star kind of guys.
Yeah.
So I got a few of the stats here because we haven't really got to this. Carl Grundstrom, who I still think has an opportunity. I don't know if he's going to come up this year, but I think they're pretty high on him.
Right.
In 11 games with the Marlies, 5 goals, 6 assists. Point a game, not bad. Won a Calder Cup last year. Young guy, gritty guy. I think he's got a shot in the future. Trevor Moore, who's now up with the team. 9 goals, 3 assists in 12 games for the Marlies.
I love that.
Not bad. Timothy Liljegren.
Yeah.
2 goals, 5 assists in 13 games. Rasmus Sandin, this is the big one. 2 goals and 2 assists for 4 points in 5 games. And he's only 18.
Love it. Thanks.
There's your GOAT report.
The GOAT tracker.
The GOAT tracker. Yeah.
They're pretty good players, though. They're,
not bad.
All right, but
I mean, a lot of the big boys are already up here, right?
Exactly. Like, the cycle has kind of gone through. Now it's the next wave. Like, the team is not going to wait for Liljegren to, you know, like, I don't think Kyle's sitting there saying, I'm not going to acquire a defenseman if I believe this, that's going to put the team over top. Liljegren's going to take that spot 2 years from now. Mm-hmm. You're not waiting 2 years. What you're doing is allowing them to grow, and they're stockpiling prospects. And if a trade comes about that has to move one of those prospects to make the big team, to push them over the top, you do it.
You make the move.
You make the move.
Absolutely. Do you guys want a quick puzzle? We haven't done a puzzle.
Yes, I want a puzzle.
Again, because we're honoring Frederick Gauthier with his second assist last night.
Yeah.
He's officially on the board. Change up that HockeyDB page, NHL.com. Get with the program. No longer donuts.
Wasn't that his first?
Yeah, he's got one assist.
You said second.
Well, I meant second assist on the goal, okay. Right? It wasn't a primary assist, but it was an important assist.
Do we have the puzzle sting?
Yes, we do.
Oh, and another piece of the puzzle falls into place.
It's now time for the puzzle brought to you by Freddy the Goat.
Rod.
Take it away, Brian.
How did we get Rod to continue to do that?
Because he likes us.
Does he? I don't know if he does anymore.
He doesn't like you.
He doesn't like me.
He likes
personally.
Me and O.
He's a fan of you guys.
Yeah.
It's a big weekend for Rod, too. We got the, the Grey Cup will be determined this weekend. So the way
Ricky Flair going back to Hamilton?
Well, they're in Ottawa. He's got to be there. I think Ric Flair has got to be there. I said that on Monday. You got to ride his coattails all the way to the Grey
Cup.
Absolutely. You know? All right, so the way this works, there's really no rhyme or reason for any of this. There's over-unders. There's fill-in-the-blanks. It was just a cheesy way to get to a bit because we were struggling. The Leafs' most important depth forward is either Connor Brown, Andreas Janssen, or Par Lindholm. Or other, if you want to include one.
The Leafs?
Today?
Most important depth forward. Today. I'm not including Kapanen. He's
because I was
going to
say Kapanen if Nylander comes back, but it's today.
Right.
I say Brown.
I think it's Par Lindholm. I think he's actually starting to play well, and he's finding his game a little bit. He's strong on his stick. He plays up the middle of the ice, kills some
penalties.
Janssen
an option?
Yeah, Janssen's in there.
I'm gonna take him.
He's come alive too. Janssen's playing a lot better. Yeah, but
he's got to be a guy that can chip in and score some goals as opposed to just skating 100 miles an hour.
As much as we're saluting the GOAT today, I think once Matthews comes back, Lindholm goes back to the fourth line center.
Right.
Because I don't think you're moving Ennis and Levo. They're playing well on the wing. So I think Lindholm's starting to figure it out. Mitch Marner, over under on points on the season, 89.5.
That's a good one. I'm going to say, God, I'd like to see him.
I'm going to go under. I think it's so hard to push that limit to get to 90.
What did you say, 89 and a half?
89.5.
I thought about it this morning.
I'm over the number. He had three again last night. He's got, what does he have, 25 points in 19 games? I'm over. This kid is so locked in right now, and he's playing with Tavares and that power play. I think he and Tavares are going to hit 90 points.
It could. Yeah, I mean, it's a really good number.
That's so tough, and it likely could happen, but I know how difficult it is. I'm going to go under. I know there's some bumpy roads ahead where
you know what number
dry.
Sticks out for me? 86. I don't know why.
That'd be a great season.
Well, it'd be a great season.
Great
it's over
season.
A point a game, but
yep.
it just
That's
it's
top
a
10
little
in the
bit
league.
It's a little bit under.
Okay. Morgan Riley, over under points on the season, 69.5.
Under.
Under. To dial in 70-plus points.
That's a big season.
He had another assist last night. Like, John Carlson led defense in points last year with 69.
Yeah.
He had 69. I don't believe he had 24 in his first 18 games or whatever it was.
I think there's still, I mean, this is still early in the season. There's going to be a market correction.
Well, it's almost 20 games. It's not like it's five.
To get to that number,
the season tightens
up.
Yeah.
The first 20 is loose. The second 20 tightens. Like, by the time we're going to be talking about players in February and March that are going to be going through stretches of four or five games without a point, it happens,
right? I'm under the number. I don't think he's getting a 70.
No.
But I think he's obviously
60.
On pace. Oh, 60 I think he's getting. I think he'll get, as long as he stays healthy, I think somewhere in 65, mid-60s.
Yeah.
Erik Karlsson's cap hit on a long-term deal will be blank.
$11 million a year.
Not for me.
You think he's losing money?
I do. I think he's making people think, and I know... Jamie, don't jump on me. He can respond and get better, and guys have bad seasons. But if I look at the ankle or the foot or the health, I don't want to be in a position where it's after a year or two, you're wondering, or 1 year, you're wondering, why am I locked in for so much money on this guy?
So what's your number?
Do I have to give a number? I just, well, okay. I'm under.
Under 11. Say, 11.
I said 11.
I think he's That's still getting a Doughty money. Deal.
Yeah.
Something's not right. I mean, he doesn't look comfortable right now. And I think that's more about the scenery, really,
yeah,
than anything else. And... But, you know, he's had, like, gruesome injury history. Like, that ankle and his Achilles, he's taken a beating in his career. But I still think San Jose made the deal. I think they're committed to him. They know that they've got the money. He's getting the Doughty deal. I
yeah,
still think
you know
he's
what?
Getting
it. I'll say 11, too, because he's going to say, if you don't give me the Doughty deal, it's no chance. And right. Some team will be desperate enough to do it.
Yeah, even if he goes to free agency, someone else saying. Will be like, all right, then we'll give it to
he's
you.
I think there's only a few elite defensemen in the world. He's one of them. Like, there's... You know, yeah, he got two assists last night. I didn't think he particularly looked great, but this is a guy who had an off season last year at 62 points.
Mm-hmm.
We're just talking about Morgan Rielly having the season of his career getting in the 60s.
I think the difference is, again, his injury past.
Yeah.
Like that, and those that major. Came up last year where he was, you know, he had the surgery and he got off to a slow start, and you know, if you lose a half step, that's
a half step report. On Carlson's still a full step on most of the league. That's yeah. what I would say.
Okay.
I still think he's elite defenseman. I think it's a change of scenery. It's settling in, but you know, maybe it just doesn't fall for him. Maybe Father Time's catching up to him. You never know. But at 28 years old, I find that hard to believe.
I still think he's getting paid.
Yeah.
I think he'll get it. That's about it, I think, for the GOAT. And the puzzle. I have more. We can get to more later.
We'll continue the puzzle.
Yeah, we can get to maybe when Duffy comes in.
Okay.
All right. Rays coming up from Anaheim ahead of the game tonight. You can hear it on TSN 1050. Watch it on TSN 4. The Raptors with a big, big test tonight. They're in Boston. We'll tee that up. And I have to believe that's it for Mike McCarthy in Green Bay. He'll get the rest of the year out of respect. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been there for a long time. But last night, this guy is a whipping boy. Like, not quite like John Gruden. Hugh Jackson type, but he is a pinata, and I think felt, he deserves it.
I felt for you last night.
Well, and Rodgers, listen, in the fourth quarter, he wasn't good enough either. Like, that's sacrilegious, and I love the guy, but he didn't get it done. Last time he had the ball, he threw a couple of ducks, and he couldn't move the chains. He's got to be better. It's not always everybody else's fault. He's got to be better.
Right.
Overdraft continues on the TSN app.
You sounded like such a loser today on the phone. We were having our kind of midday kind of sports chat, and you gave me the old, well, O-Dog, I got to snowplow the driveway. I was like, man, that is tough.
Do you have like a blower?
Yeah, I got the full, dude, this thing's industrial. Like, it's so unnecessary.
Like, you could sit on it?
Oh, this is the kind of thing, like parking lots at the airport, they clear with this thing.
Really?
It
didn't sound cool at all.
Like, no, it's not, but it works. I'll tell you, man, this was heavy
That's
snow.
That's amazing.
Heavy snow.
The garage goes up, you come
bombing. Oh, I came bombing out. I'm trying to hit corners with this thing. It weighs
be a good
metric
guy,
ton.
Pick out one older neighbor and do their driveway. That's your good deed for the winter.
He lives in a young neighborhood.
Yeah, there really aren't that many older
people. And they're
people.
The degenerates because he leaves his garbage yeah. out and it blows
I don't mow
leaves.
The lawn and yeah. stuff. I'm the guy that should be being taken care of.
Yeah.
All right. Noodles, are you sticking around? I think you're out of here, right? You're off.
Well,
to
we'll see. I got to go to Edmonton.
Get out of
like
here.
Minus,
get out of here.
Minus price. 19 with the wind chill. I was
have fun
downright
today.
Balmy.
Guarantee your daughter's going to say never again.
Yeah,
that's nice seeing grandma. She but
grew
I'm
up.
Not...
She grew up there. Technically, I mean, she's got half of her blood is from.
She
Alberta.
Knows what it's all about. St. Albert, what's up? Yeah. All right, Noodles.
We'll chat then.
We'll chat then.
This hour of Overdrive was powered by The Source. For expert advice on the very best holiday gifts, visit The Source and chat with one of their tech experts.